Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome from Abiding Love Worship Center Ministries with Evangelist Aaron and Sheila Gervais. We definitely thank you for listening tonight. We're excited about this message because it's going a continuation from the whatsoever or whatever series that we're on. This one's talking about, last week we talked about being honest, and this one we're going to talk about, are you just or just? And so we've been reading every week from Philippians chapter 4, starting verse 4, it says this, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice, that your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, that your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things." So we're going to be talking about today, once again, is are you just or just? Let me ask you some questions. Think about over your whole life and see if you've heard these phrases. You are just a loser. You're just poor. You're just plain ugly. Your future is just black. You will always be just a mediocre person. You are just barely going to make it through this life. You will always be just a sinner. Now, listen to this. You can't think of greater things about yourself unless you see yourself as God sees you. Let me say that again. You cannot think of greater things about yourself unless you see yourself as God sees you. You can't go beyond what you believe about yourself. So I am playing on the word just, but it actually is important to know what the word just means and how thinking about this will change your life. See, everything we don't understand about being just a loser comes from not knowing that what just actually means. So the first thing we have to look at, and it all comes down to this every single time, is that the first point is Christ is who justifies. Christ is who justifies. The first thing we need to know about being just is the meaning. It means to be guided by truth, reason, justice, and fairness. It is keeping with truth or fact. It is correct. Realize that Christ is just. He is truth. In John 14:6, Jesus answered, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." So everything that is in this world that is just comes from Jesus Christ. Everything with God is just and right. You see, so many times bad things happen to believers and non-believers alike. And these are things we don't want to happen. Circumstances that seem to knock our legs right from under us. It may be even things that we have prayed to happen that doesn't, or prayed that wouldn't happen that does. See, those situations make God seem to not be just or even fair. The problem is we are trying to make our standards His. See, our idea of right standards are not His. They are skewed by our life, skewed by circumstances, skewed by just what we think. So we have to take God's view of just at His word. So as always, you know, when we give these messages that we got to get into the Word of God. So once again, I pray that you have your Bible open because I want you to turn to the passages we're actually turning to. And we're going to look at Deuteronomy chapter 32. We're going to look at verses 3 through 4. Deuteronomy 32, 3 and 4. It says, "Because I will publish the name of the Lord, ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment, a God of truth, and without iniquity, just and right is he." See, God is totally just. The only way we're going to fully appreciate that part of him is to trust him. The part of us that allows God to do what he needs to do for our good is called trust. It is utter trust that God is just and in who he is and how he deals with each and every one of us. He is just. Now, listen to what the Apostle Paul had to endure in Scripture. Now, this is a man who went through some stuff. Now, I have heard people say that they want to have the faith of Paul. They want to be as strong in their faith as Paul, the apostle. But the question is this: do you want to go through what Paul had to go through to build that kind of faith and to trust the God who is just? Do you want to go through what Paul had to go through to build that kind of faith in the God who is just? And a lot of people say, well, what did Paul go through? Well, we're going to look at that and see how powerful that the things Paul had to go through. 2 Corinthians, we're going to look at here, chapter 11, starting in verse 23. It's going to shed some very valuable light on this. 2 Corinthians 11, starting in verse 23. Listen to this. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool, I am more. In labors, more abundant. In stripes, above measure. In prisons, more frequent. In deaths, often. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Twice I suffered shipwreck. A night and day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often. In perils of water. In perils of robbers. In perils of mine own countrymen. In perils by the heathen. In perils in the city. In perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. Verse 27, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches, who is weak and I am not weak, who is offended and I burn not. If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern my infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. And so when you look at a passage like that, this is something very interesting. He says 40 stripes save one. That means 39 stripes upon his back. And that, and around his sides, 5 times. Realize that means 195 stripes over the course of a short time. His back was scarred. 3 times, he says, with rods. Stoned until they thought he was dead and threw his body outside the city. That's in Acts chapter 14, verse 19. You know, and so they threw his body outside the city thinking he was dead that he was stoned so hard. Shipwreck 3 times and time spent in the water. He endured many trials, thieves from his own people and others attacking him. He was tired. His body hurt. He spent time watching. He was hungry. He spent time being thirsty, cold, not enough clothing, and much time in prayer and in fasting. We look at that and realize that God allowed Paul to go through all of that so that Paul would trust in the just God more and more. This built Paul's faith, and God needs to allow things in our lives to build that type of faith as well. Why? Because if you have nothing to trust God for, you won't trust God. That's a simple fact. If you have no finances to trust God for, you're not going to trust God in finances. If you've never had to trust God for things in your life, because guess what? I can do it on my own. Then you can't have the faith that Paul had. Because he had to be stretched. God had to allow things in his life to stretch him. Now listen to how Paul responds to all this in his life. He doesn't get mad and say like sometimes we do, I can't believe God is so unfair. I can't believe God's done this to me. I can't believe God's this. And of course the worst one is, well, if God continues to let this go, I'm just going to turn my back on him. Well, that's a smart idea right there. Not. But in Romans chapter 8, listen to what he says. Romans 8, 16 and 17. Then we're going to look at another passage. He says, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. You see, Paul knew that all this stuff that was going on was going to bring glory to God and bring him to God in his presence. Another passage that talks about that, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. For our light affliction, think of all I just talked about. My goodness, how many Christians would cave under being whipped 39 times? Can you imagine? Can you imagine, just for a moment, being whipped 39 times? But not only was Paul whipped 39 times, he was whipped again 39 times, and again 39 times, and again 39 times, and again 39 times, and all the other stuff I read. And look, he's comparing this. He goes, for our light affliction. Oh my goodness, can you imagine if a believer went through that today? Oh, that'd be woe is me for just days on end, years on end. They'd be Facebooking it for at least 10 years, trying to get people's attention about what they suffered for Christ. Don't get me wrong, 39 stripes would be horrific. But look what all Paul went through. And once again, he calls it for our light affliction. But listen to what he says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, because he's looking at it through time and eternity, is for in a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. He knows in 100 years from the time he wrote that, he's going to be in the presence of Christ. What's it going to matter? What's all that going to matter? It doesn't. What's going to matter is how God gets the glory. And so it's a beautiful passage of what he's saying there. See, all suffering brings us to God's glory. Are we in a place that are in our walk with Christ that we feel that God is just in what he allows in our lives? When we trust in that, it will lead us to do something. It will lead us to receive him. And if we have him, it will lead us to trust him fully. That brings us to our second point, that you are then, when you receive Christ, the just and justified in Christ. When you come to the Lord, you are then the just and justified in Christ. You see, the moment when you became just is a moment that you got saved or rededicated back to the Lord. Not knowing who you are can keep your life down in every area. Once again, not believing in or receiving Christ into your heart and life will keep you feeling that you are just poor, just mediocre, just a person taking up space, just a sinner. And what we're saying today is, you are in Christ, you are just. You are just. It's something totally different. So let's see what our journey with being just begins and how it looks. In Romans chapter 3, the Bible really tells us this whole process. In Romans, once again, chapter 3, starting verse 24, he says this, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be the propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. Verse 26, to declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just, and the justifier of him that believeth in Jesus. Amen. So he is just and a justifier of him that believeth in Jesus. In that passage, I said a word. It's very curious. It's the word propitiation. And we need to stop just for a moment to see what that means. The word is translated from the Greek helasterion, meaning that which expiates or propitiates, or the gift that procures propitiation. Now, it's a good definition, but what does it still mean? The word is also used in the New Testament for the place of propitiation, the mercy seat, that is the lid of the ark. See, here's what happened. In the Old Testament, all the sins, especially the Day of the Atonement, was confessed. And what happened is the priest confessed the sins of the people, and he confessed it right before the ark, and it was put on the ark. And then the mercy seat, the top of the ark, was sprinkled with the atoning blood on the Day of Atonement, representing that the righteous sentence of the law had been executed, changing the place of judgment into a mercy seat. Changing the place of judgment into a mercy seat. And so in essence, they confess their sins, and of course, you have the lambs and stuff like that. They confess their sins, they did a sacrifice, And then they spread the blood on the mercy seat. That is above the ark and right on top of it, in the middle. And so when they did that, it replaced the judgment for mercy. Christ satisfied the righteousness of God the Father, hereby making it possible for him to show mercy righteously. You see, another word for it is the punishment, the wrath of God that was due us. The judgment. When Christ went, he was the propitiation. He took that place of judgment, shedding his blood, so now we have a place of mercy. That's what it's talking about. Christ is the one that justifies. Do you remember that day when you were saved? Think about that day that you were saved. The moment you knew that all of your sins had been removed. Do you remember the freeing feeling of just feeling so free, so victorious? That feeling is being just with God, being justified. There's an old phrase that goes with this. It says this: justification means just if I've never done any sin. It's just if I've never done any sin. It's a good word for justification. This feeling can come every day with the Lord as we make sure that we keep short accounts with him. Now, what is this? This means is when you mess up, when you sin, you quickly take it to Christ so he can forgive you. You make a short account. You don't wait until you have a lot of sins and you don't feel like coming to God because you've sinned too much. See, that's the devil's trap. But the Holy Spirit is saying, come to him now. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. See, he is just and did all that to make us just in him. The second part about our journey into being just is the just continue to live just by faith. Think about that. The just continue to live just by faith. And so we're going to look up a couple passages about this. Romans chapter 1, verse 17, it talks about this just living by faith. Romans chapter 1, verse 17. He says, therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, and is written, the just shall live by faith. So the just is something that we continue in. But I'm going to turn to an Old Testament passage that even goes a little bit deeper into this, because this is that New Testament passage actually quotes this Old Testament passage. And the passage is, it's one in the Old Testament that a lot of people have a hard time finding. It's Habakkuk, and it's right after Nahum. And it's Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. And I'm going to read it slow, because if you read it fast sometimes, and I encourage you, when you're reading the Word of God, sometimes take your time, read it slow, because sometimes you're going to be skimming and God is trying to say, wait, because he's wanting to show you something. But when you're just trying to read it to get through as fast as you can, he doesn't have that time to show you things. And this is one of those verses, Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. It says this, behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him. And that means a soul which is lifted up, they're prideful, they lift themselves up, is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Here is the central theme of the Bible in this verse. The cause of life and death is presented. Trust in God brings life. It says that. The just shall live by his faith. The trust in God, the faith brings life. They shall live by it. But pride leads to death. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him. And it can't be. It can't come to God. The reason is the pride leads to death is because it will not accept by faith the grace of God. Pride will always say, you have to work to get your salvation. You have to work to become just. You have to work. You have to do. You have to do. Because guess what? I can do it by myself. That's pride. God says all our righteous acts are filthy rags to him. There is no one righteous, no, not one. So we cannot, in our pride, think we can live as good as we can, and God will just have to let us into heaven because we did a good job. Nobody's going to do a good job. The only one who did the good job was Christ, and because of that, we come to him by faith, by trust, and we will have life then. See, we stay just because of our faith with Christ. See, we are saved by grace through faith. It is the same grace through the same faith that we continue to live in God. And this, that is so important to understand. See, let me give you an example. A life when you need to continue to be just by faith. You need to remember words that God says you are just. You are justified. Because words like you're just a loser, even when you hear them as a young person, can keep you from things then, and even keep you from things when you grow older. Let me give you an example. When I was younger, I liked this certain girl. She had blonde hair, beautiful eyes, and the cutest dimples you have ever seen. She was a Christian as well, and that part of her was very amazing. Later, when I was in sixth grade and I wanted to give her a note, finally asking her if she liked me, you know, one of those notes that you have to check yes or no to. Well, one day I had that note written, and I ran to a guy from school that was a jock, and he had some words to say. And I remember those words to this day. He found out that I liked her and informed me that a girl like that would never like a guy like me. See, when I was a kid, I didn't have a lot going for me. I wasn't a jock. I wasn't a sports player. I was chubby. I was not a good-looking kid. And they didn't feel that I had much going for me. So when he said I'm just a loser, guess what? It resonated with what I've been trying to fight most of my life up to that point. He said because I was just a loser and always would be, that I could never have or be with somebody like that. From that, I decided not to give her my letter. Well, years and years went by. Circumstances changed, and I met her again. And that adoration that I had for her came back, but so much more. She was so beautiful inside and out, and so much a godly woman. I knew that I wanted to know and marry this woman, but those old words that kid, over all those years, came back into my mind. You're just a loser. Crept over me, and I almost didn't proceed. Then in prayer one day, Christ spoke to my heart, and he said, that's her. That's the one I want you to be with. That's the one I prepared for you, and you for her. At that, I fell totally in love with her, and I was so honored that she fell in love with me as well. She is Sheila, my lady, my wife, and my ministry partner. And I love her dearly. But see, I could have missed it if I would listen to those you are just phrases instead of listening to God. This only came when I allowed Christ to remind me that I am not a just loser. I'm not a just ugly or a just fat. I am just in him. It's a totally different concept. See, what can God being just in you do in your life? If you just believe in everything that you can be in him, there is so much that you can be when you just see yourself, just see yourself through his eyes, The last thing is living justified and thinking on what is just will change your life now and forever. There are things that God promises and a progression of a believer's life in him. I love the word of God. I love how it really shows us how the just progressive in him. The first thing realize is that God blesses the life of the just. He blesses the life of who he calls just. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 33, it really comes out, and I love these passages I'm about to share. Proverbs 3:33. It says this: the curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked. Trust me, not a good place to be. Anytime you're in a curse of the Lord, it's not good. Now, some people say, well, God never allows curses on people. Well, actually, he does. In essence, when you don't obey him, he cannot bless you. And that's the curse. And so he says, once again, the curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked. But listen to this. But he blesseth the habitation of the just. He blesseth the habitation of the just. You see, when the Lord is honored in our homes, those homes are dwelt by the just. And it is because we are just in the Lord, he will bless our homes. Now, don't get me wrong. These blessings are not what the name it and claim it people are saying. Well, that means if you're just, you can ask for a 7-bedroom house and you're going to get it. If you ask for 3 cars, you're going to get it. Now, I'm still asking for that Lamborghini. I haven't had it yet. I'm joking. But I don't do that. Why? Because I know that's not the blessings Christ is talking about. The biggest blessing is not what most people think. The biggest blessing is God's presence. It is Jesus Christ himself. You see, when you can be in a house, say you don't have a TV, you don't have cable, the kids don't have Xboxes, say you don't have things like this, maybe you have shoes that have cracks on the bottom, and when you walk in the rain, you get wet, maybe you don't have enough clothes, maybe we don't know what's going on, but if you as a family can get together, pray together, look at each other, and know Jesus is there, let me tell you, that is the greatest, richest home there can be, because Christ's presence is there. So sadly said, though, so many dishonor God in what they do in the home, the words that they speak, or even what they choose to entertain themselves on. So many Christian homes don't even have the sight of anyone in the home ever praying or opening up the Word of God to read it. This needs to be so very different. Believers, be the leaders of your homes. If you're a man listening to this, step up. Risk your wife getting angry if you're going to open up the Bible and read it to your family. If she doesn't like it, do it anyway. Because I guarantee you, inside of her, there's going to be something that's going to wake up and say, this is what I've been wanting. This is what is right. Men, step up. Be the ones who pray for a family. When your kids are going through something, they have a hard test, don't just be pounding on the table saying, well, you better study more. Sit down with them and pray for them that they retain the things that they've studied. Pray through the circumstances of life. And that's what we need to do. And if you're a woman that don't have the spiritual head of the house that is doing that, guess what? You step up. You be the one who's going to lead that family in the way it needs to go. And if you're here and you're at home and your mom and dad neither do that, and as the child, you do that. You be the spirit. You're not the spiritual head, but you can be the spiritual lead that house is going to be blessed with. And so step up wherever you are in life and know that what God wants for your life is blessing, which is his presence. Joshua chapter 24, verse 15 goes into this, and I want to share it with you. This is the leader of Israel. And the people of Israel had a choice. And because he was so just in God, listen to what he says. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I'm telling you, in the day that we live in right now, with all the changes that our country is about to go through and have went through, they are going to start turning against believers. And you are going to have to make a decision. Are you going to serve the gods of this world, the gods of tolerance, the gods of money, the god of greed, the god of pride? Or are you going to serve the living God? Which one are you going to serve? We need to get to the point that we say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And that even means Jesus warned of, at times where a son will turn against the father and tell on him. Guess what? You still serve the Lord in your home. God will take care of the rest. Serve God. And so he blesses the life of the just. The next thing is God leads the just on the right path. God leads the just on the right path. The book of Isaiah, chapter 26, verse 7, goes into this. Isaiah 26, verse 7. Listen to this. The way of the just is uprightness. Thou, most upright, dost weigh the path of the just. And so right there we have it that God, he will bless that path of the just. In every area of your life, since Christ is living in you, he will direct your thoughts. You have your part to play in this. Allow your thoughts to be directed by him and think on the things that are just. That is in your actions, and others. When you come up to different aspects of your life, think, what would the just think? What would the just in Christ do? What would the just say? What would the just do? Asking yourself these questions and being led by the Word of God and the Holy Spirit will keep you on the right path that you should walk. You see, once again, I'm going to read that verse again. The way of the just is uprightness. Thou most upright, talking about God, dost weigh the path of the just. And that's what we need to do. Ask yourself these questions. No more hitting your head over and over saying, at the end of the day, when you've totally messed up, you didn't live for the Word, you didn't live by what God said, and you don't want to hit your head, you know, hit your head with your hand and say, stupid, stupid, stupid. Instead, you can choose to be the believer as they lean on Christ's understanding will be able to say at the end of the day, oh yeah, Lord, thank you. How much better is at the end of the day like that than the end of the day any other way? And so the next step is God helps the just be his lights. Now let me tell you, in the day we live in now, there is going to be a stark reality change of believers. So many believers, I believe, I tell you what, with all the stuff that's going on, there's going to be some major shaking. It is God allowed because he's going to shake the church. He's going to shake the church because he wants to know who's going to stand for him or who's not. He's going to know who's going to shine their lights for him. If not, let me tell you, if right now you are in a place where you deny Christ because you're ashamed to tell him, you're afraid that your coworkers are going to tease you, afraid your boss might fire, afraid you're going to get wrote up, guess what? You're not going to do it when it gets worse. It's not going to happen. If you're afraid now to shine your light, to tell people about Jesus because you're afraid of what they're going to say, afraid of how they're going to feel, you're sure not going to do it when things get worse. In fact, God says to one of the Old Testament prophets, and I won't be able to come up with it right off the back of my mind, in my head, but he goes, if you're scared of the footfalls, what are you going to do with the horsemen? And what he meant by that, if you're scared of the people who are walking, what are you going to do when the horses come? If you don't want to live for the God when it's not that hard, then how are you going to live for God when it gets hard? And what he's saying is we need to make that decision now. Think of the things that are just. Think of the things that are right, because God is going to help us. So let's look at God help us be the just, be his lights. Proverbs chapter 14, it says this. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. I love that verse. I'm going to read it again. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more into the perfect day. The path of the just, it says, is a shining light. Do you see that? Understand that we are the light of the world when we are in Christ Jesus. We shine for Christ in everything we think, say, and do. We can't witness well with just words or with just actions. We have to do both of those. This passage is saying that our path becomes a shining light for others to follow. This is also declared by the Apostle Paul in a very different way. And he says a very stark, you know, what he's saying about the world and how a lot of times believers live. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, he really says something that's powerful. He says, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. You see, our path should be a shining path that when someone wants to follow God, wants to know who God is, wants to know how a believer is, all they have to do is step into your path. Wow. Step into your path. Follow that path and walk the way you're walking, and they will be following Jesus. So let the just have paths that shine Christ so others know the way. And the last thing about it is God helps the just live a life of no regrets. Live a life of no regrets. Back to Proverbs again. If your Bible's not worn in, listen to our messages. We'll sure get them worn in. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 7. The memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot. The memory of the just is blessed, as opposed to the memory of the wicked, which will just rot. Now, see, I have been to funerals as a pastor, And they have a way of telling people around how that person lived. Sometimes they are well attended, and sometimes only a few people show, if any, show up. Although attendance alone is not the deciding factor of how the person lived, it is the words and actions of those around that reveal the person's life. Sad to say, you can see it in the crowd. It is usually not what you said, although very important when you say things in life, that sets the legacy for others to follow, but it's how you lived that set the legacy for others to follow. I have been in funeral homes where the person was a very godly person, but their witness was very soft to family, to friends, to everyone that knew them. And it breaks your heart because you're seeing outside that all they're doing is talking about getting drunk, talking about drugs, talking about partying, talking about everything else. And the person that they love so much and is so godly passed away. What happened? Where was the legacy? And a lot of times it's because that person lived a life but didn't share that life, didn't share the importance of following Christ. And so the ones who were left behind never saw the importance of it. Oh, they know you're going to heaven. They know you're going to be there. But as for them, yeah, they don't want that part of life. And it's sad. And that is the type of funeral really you don't want to have. If a person, though, lived a life of true legacy, and I've been there, you see in those funerals, people who are sad, yes, but joyous at the same time. Faces that light up when they talk about the person. And when they talk about the person, they can't help to talk about Jesus. It goes hand in hand. They can't think about the person without Jesus. They can't think about Jesus without the person. And because of that, you will see it in how they talk about themselves and their families. It's totally different. I love going to a funeral where the person's example set a legacy for others to be a stronger Christian than the one that passed away. I love hearing about how they lived, matched up with what they said. You see, that's how we want our funerals to go. That's how we want our kids. I know Sheila and I both want our kids to love and serve Christ even more and better and closer than we could ever dream for ourselves. That's what we want, because that is the desire of Christ itself. So be the type of person that is just and lives just, and you will leave a legacy that others can follow all the way to Jesus Christ. You see, I want to read that passage in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 again. How do you do that? You got to reprogram your mind. Stop thinking of things that drag you down. Stop thinking of things of those kids in the past that said, you're just stupid, you're just ugly, you're just fat. Stop it. Listen to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords sing over you. No, they are not just that. They are just in me. And that's why God gives us that verse in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Because it guards your minds. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, guard your hearts and minds, the peace of God. Whatever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Guess what? So many times we want to think about how that applies in other people's lives, and that's true. We want to see that. But what God is saying right now is that these things that he's saying is things that he's doing in you. That he's doing in you. Whatsoever things aren't true, that's you. Whatsoever things are honest, that's you. God first, then in you. Whatsoever things are just, that's who God is in you. God wants you to see yourself through his eyes. You see, when you are just and you think of the things that are just, you will see your life really come to life. God wants you to know, to not only think on these things, but to be those things. When you do, the peace of God will continue to build your life in Christ. And that is our prayer for you today. Start living just. Start being just. Start thinking about things that are just. And you're going to see God do some amazing things in your life. You know, one of the first things that happen when you start allowing your mind and heart to start clicking into God's is all those complaints start to fall off. All those voices that you heard when you were younger, or even now, will start to fall off. And now it will become a shield. God will shield those things away. Because God wants you to be powerful in Him. He wants you to live a life that is not just, but just. And so that is what we want for you. So I want to say a prayer for you right now. If you have never received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, the first thing you need to do is receive Him so you will become the just, His just. He wants to move into you. And so the first thing I want to do is, if you have never received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, I want you to take just a few moments and pray this. Pray it with all your heart. Don't think you're going to give Jesus a try. That doesn't work. You have to give Him your everything. And so right now, right where you are, I want to say a prayer, and I want you to pray it right after me. But mean it with everything you are. And if you want to use your own words, use your own words. Pray it as just talking to God. Lord Jesus. Pray it right after me. Lord Jesus. Please forgive me for the sins I have done, for I have sinned. I have broken your heart and gone my own way. But today, I'm surrendering to you. I believe that you came. You lived a sinless life. You revealed yourself. And then you were crucified. You shed your blood. You died. You were buried. And then you rose again to offer me salvation that I now receive. Jesus Christ, I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Please come into my heart and into my life. I receive you also as my King, as my Master, as my best friend. Lord Jesus, help me to pray, to talk to you. Help me to live for you for all the days of my life. And I thank you for saving me. Thank you for making me just. Jesus, thank you for making me just like you. See, that's what Christ wants us to be. And I praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to pray for you, Lord Jesus. For those who might just pray that for the first time or maybe the 100th time, I ask you, Lord Jesus, that you would protect them. Let the enemy just knock him off, that he won't be able to whisper to them that they did nothing, that they are now new creations. They are children of the King. Their sins were scarlet. They are white as snow. You've forgiven them as far as the east is from the west. They are just. They are now saints of God. Lord, I just ask you to help them to believe that in their heart and mind and in their souls. I ask you, Lord, that they would just start to press into the relationship with you, know that they are justified, and we praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Once again, if you pray that prayer, we want to hear about that. So if you email us at abidingloveworshipcenter@gmail.com. Also, we have a Facebook. We want you to go there, Abiding Love Worship Center. Friend us. Leave a comment on one of our things saying that you just received Christ or rededicated today. We also invite you to go to our website, www.abidingloveworshipcenter.com. You're going to be able to read more about Sheila and I, or our bios, and what we've done in the Lord. We do have a Twitter page if you like Twitter, Abiding Love WC. Also see our videos. We're going to be making some more videos on YouTube, Abiding Love Worship Center. That's our channel there. And so a lot of different ways to connect with us. We want to connect with you as well. And so we thank you for taking this time to listen in on this. And of course, we appreciate your time. We appreciate just you. We appreciate your prayers. Abiding Love Worship Center Ministries love your support. And one of the biggest ways to support us is your prayers. So just definitely pray for us as we pray for every single person that might be connecting with us. So remember, when you're living in Christ, you're living in abiding love. God bless, and go be the child of God that you are.